Hey, welcome to Game of Thrones off season. Join us as we battle over battles and brawlers and join us for fighting. We love you.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I love this show and I love the theme song to this show.
Hey, welcome to Game of Thrones off season.
We're back.
I'm Dave Child. I'm here with our guest today.
Hi, I'm Nate.
And our host. So high energy for the battles. Oh, it's going to be great. And of course.
Hi, this
I'm
is
Kristen. Chris.
We've done this before. Hi, everybody. I'm Ryan Malotti. Welcome back to Game of Thrones off season. Dave,
yes.
you put together a pretty solid topic for us
month.
I've been really dying to talk about this subject, honestly.
Yeah. Well, battles are a big part of it, and I think there's a good reason why we're talking about it this month. Steven, you can bring down this. There we go. Okay.
Soundtrack to my life, though.
Honestly. But before we get into it, we should get into a little bit of news.
Okay, let's.
I'll start off with the most exciting of the news, which is book news.
Ooh. Book news. Book news.
Book news.
Book news.
Book news.
Steven in the booth. Oh, with
I do
the
like,
book news.
Okay, so in November, we do have the release of one of maybe – I've realized all of the Game of Thrones books, they have these like heavy metal titles. And
yeah,
I feel like this is the
do.
Most heavy metal of the titles, which is Fire and Blood. It's going to be about the Targaryens and their bloodline, and it's going to be a lot of backstory. George R. R. Martin has teased that potentially there's going to be a lot to mine from for all these spinoffs that they keep promising in the future. Mm. So if you're interested in all these spinoffs, maybe this is the book to get. It is not Winds of Winter, which is the next book
in the
Game of Thrones season. And in fact, he has said it's probably maybe going to come out in 2019. Maybe. Who knows?
No.
So we're not getting it till he dies. But
so this is just like his notes of like the family of the Targaryens. Like, doesn't have anything to do with the story.
No,
it's like,
it's
here's
going,
an aside.
Is it collected stories? Or is it
is collected
okay.
stories.
Oh, and it's, no. and it's 1,000 pages, right?
That's not,
but
dude, that's
I heard,
that's
I heard it was 1,000 pages
really
that, he, that he put down for this.
It's going to be... It's gonna be
That's a
fine.
Lot of Targaryen stuff.
It's a lot of Targaryen stuff, and I hear there's gonna be a lot of like there might be some stuff on Jon Snow's background. There's
Ooh.
Gonna be
yeah, I'm sure it's
yeah, it's gonna
no,
okay.
I don't wanna say anything.
Listen, I like
how
the Dunkin' Egg
we,
stories.
What's the spoiler policy in here? Are we just free flowing?
Oh,
just,
everyone,
yeah,
everyone who's watching this has watched
okay.
all of. All
I'm
Thrones.
Assuming there will be a yeah. lot of prophecy Targaryen prophecy stuff that will allude that will. Add more to the R plus L equals J thing
yeah.
in those
mm-hmm.
books. I mean, it's basically confirmed.
Talking about that Easter egg from the season one? Is it season one?
I mean, that's from the books for like
yeah.
Right. It was like, but it was like yeah. carved in the, in some place. I forget
a
where
werewolf,
it is.
Railroad trees?
Yeah, is that where it is?
Yeah.
That's like
so.
R plus L?
I'm not going to confirm that because I could be wrong.
Right. Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's the exciting book news. It's probably good because I do like his short stories about like Dunkin' Egg and all of that stuff. I don't know if those are going to be in the books. But if you have read those, he does tell a good short story. So I'm sure a lot of these are going to be a lot of those little things. So
yeah, you know, it's content.
It's not
what I mean. I haven't read all the books, so I'm not sitting here waiting for the next one.
Right.
But I hope that the book readers who are out there can at least take this and hopefully can satiate them until
no. I mean, let's be honest. It's the book people will buy even if Winds of Winter came out tomorrow. They're still going to get Fire
sure.
and Blood, but it's still they still want Winds of Winter.
Yeah,
you know. But it's fine. It's fine. We don't care. It's fine. I go with the theory. I'm now with the theory that I think George R. R. Martin is waiting until the whole season's done on HBO.
Sure.
And then he's going to release Winds of Winter. I think that's for sure it.
You know,
he's
going to
blow that up?
Yeah.
Whatever they do in the show.
That makes sense.
He's
going
to blow it up.
Yeah, because then, I mean, I think the show is a life of its. It's a thing of its own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if he waits till it's wrapped and it's done and everyone is satisfied with how it ended, then he can go back and say, this is the other universe that I've been working on. I think it's a smart move.
You know what would be good? If season finale. That's the release date.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
So it would sell like hot
pies,
hot cakes.
So here's what really happened.
Yeah. Now that you know that story, listen to my story. Anyways, any other news?
I've got some news, updates about season 8. As we know, it's going to be 6 episodes, but each episode is going to be 70 to 90 minutes long.
Yep.
And these episodes cost $15 million per episode.
That's it?
That's it!
That's a lot of Dornish wine.
We're supposed to get the very first episode in April 2019. So, guys, we just have to wait a whole year.
Yeah, like, just
no
one
big
year.
Deal. No big deal.
April next
They're
going to
wrap in December of this year. And they actually just finished filming a battle that took 55 days to film in Northern Ireland. 55 days to film.
Wrapping that into my news story, there was actually a note. Thank you, Kristen.
It didn't say I was done, but go for it.
Well, that's what I was going
to say. Well, you stole his new story.
Okay, go for it.
Okay,
go
well, for it. Well, I just heard that, so there was a post from the Watchers on the Wall that released a gratitude note from the producers about, yes, the 55-night shot sequence of a battle, which before the previous record was Battle of the Bastards, which took a month to film.
Yeah.
And the note, we have it, I think, on screen, but I'll read a quote from the note from one of the producers that says, "When tens of millions of people around the world watch this episode a year from now, they won't know how hard you worked, they won't care how tired you were, or how tough it was to do your job in sub-freezing temperatures, they'll just understand they're watching something that's never been done before." So there's
I love that because now that we've all read that note, well, we know it.
because of the, you know, they're dropping little hints right there.
Yeah.
What
are you guys pretending to know? Like, stop it.
Oh, it's
what
a battle.
What are you pretending to know?
It's a battle between, you know, it's in the cold.
It's the final countdown.
It's the final. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
going to be White Walker versus humanity.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's when they break the wall down.
Fire and ice, right?
Yeah.
That's the point.
Well, they've already kind of broken the wall down. They put a hole in the wall.
No, but they're going to, like...
They're going to break.
It's going to come crashing.
It's going to break.
Well, I was also going to say that I read that they're filming multiple endings, so everyone involved won't even know how it ends.
And that's what they keep saying. I think there is a lot of trolling when it comes to
the... I don't think that is... Happening.
I think so because, you know, in Vegas, they normally only have sports bets. But this time around, they're actually having a Game of Thrones bet for you can bet on whoever you think will win Game of Thrones and rule the throne. So if you're feeling lucky, go to Vegas.
I love the idea that in the sports bar somewhere in the corner are all these nerds being like, we're talking about Game of Thrones.
Bran's going to sit on the iron. No, there is not going to be an Iron Throne.
Bran is the Night King.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I put it all on the White Walkers.
Now you guys know everything.
Yeah.
We're
good.
Knowing Martin, that's how the book really ends. Like,
right.
They just lose. And, and everyone just becomes zombies and that's it.
And it's a thousand years
King
of winter.
Forever. Yeah.
I feel like there's still going to be like that bittersweet ending. I feel like it's going to end in that way where things are okay, but our favorite people have died. So it's like the sons and daughters of our favorite people are okay.
Yeah.
That's what I
hope so, man.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that was where the true magic came from the show, is when as soon as they lopped off Ned Stark's head, you're really like, wow, this is something different. This is, you know, they finally like a real tragedy in an American, you know, television.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, usually everything's wrapped up in a nice bow. And finally, we see actual ramifications for real-life conflict.
Yeah.
Even though it's not something we want to happen, it's just something about it that makes you go, wow, that was special, that was unique. And, I mean, if they can't afford the cast members for the spinoff series, then they might as well kill them off, right?
Right. Well, the spinoff series is going to be like years and years ago. They're going to be like the prequels.
Yeah.
Okay, but talking about this massive battle brings me into what we're going to talk about today, which are the best battles of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I came up with my five favorite battles. You might disagree with the order. Researching this, I might disagree with the order. But I feel like I want to start off with number five on my list is the Blackwater. The Battle of Blackwater.
Yes.
And I feel like this
That's a good one.
Yeah,
this one of my favorites.
This was the battle that kind of like started the trend of episode long battles, penultimate episodes that are just like amazing. It comes in at the penultimate episode of season two, so episode 9 of season 2. And it was actually written by George R. R. Martin.
The episode was.
Yeah, one of the few episodes written, if not maybe, yeah, I think it's one of the few written by George R. R. Martin. And it just only featured the battle. So what do you guys remember from this specific battle?
Number one, the song, Reigns of Casimir, by The National. Like, what? That's the first thing that comes to mind. And I think that everyone played that, like, Shazammed it, Spotify, instantly. And that became one of your favorite Game of Thrones songs.
Yeah,
it's classic.
The National was a good choice too, because they always just feel a little sad.
I think what stands out to me, honestly, was the Dragonfire.
Yeah,
I mean
Wildfire.
Wildfire. What did I say?
Dragonfire.
No Dragonfire.
Not Dragonfire.
No.
That
no,
comes
no.
later. No, the Wildfire.
There
it was just there. It is. Oh, it's just so big. That green. In this moment, I was like, I was so taken aback as to the production value of the show. I feel like up until then it was really well made, but like you didn't really see the money, you know, and this is the one time I was like, wow, these guys spent quite a bit, and it's just so well done, you know, to have the, you know, it's really realistic, but this is the first time you really see a lot of magic in something that's so raw. I mean, because these guys just have swords and stuff, but you're seeing these like green explosions and everyone's burning. It's crazy, man. I got lost in it, for sure.
It's also such a great moment for Tyrion, too.
Yes.
Because
yes.
it's he really got to show off the fact that he can actually be a good leader. And
and that Joffrey wasn't?
Yeah. No, but he had, you know, you saw a little bit of Tywin in him, because he's able to really put these pieces together.
He rallied the troops. Remember that speech? Oh, he was like, what'd he say? He said, there's brave men knocking at our door. Yeah. Let's go kill them.
Yeah.
With his axe.
And also
a little hatchet.
It was pretty big axe. But I do like...
That's what they all say.
You know, it does a job. It does the job. They also made sure that in a George R. R. Martin fashion that one of the high moments of Tyrion also comes at one of his lowest moments, because he gets his face scratched in.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as a book reader at this moment, it was like, he turned out okay. It's like a cool scar. In the show, it's a cool scar. In the book, he like loses a nose.
He's also supposed to be already really ugly, too.
Yeah, and they have Peter Dinklage, who's like, he can get it.
Right.
He's pretty good looking.
He's a handsome man.
But I remember we were also kind of cheering for Davos, who was on the other side with Stannis' army. Yeah. So it was interesting, because we were all sort of cheering with like our favorite characters, like Bronn and Tyrion, and then Davos was on the other side. So it's like, you're in this battle, but you're not quite on either side.
This wasn't a like one person, one side you're fighting for.
It's right.
like kind of... You don't really care about the people that are behind the people. You care about the people who are fighting.
Yeah, I was cheering for Stannis.
Why?
Big Stannis guy?
No, I mean, not really, but I don't like Joffrey, and I don't like...
Oh, yeah.
So, no one likes Joffrey.
I'm fine with Stannis winning in that case, and then seeing what happens from there.
But when the wildfire happens, you're still like, yeah.
Well, I don't... The wildfire didn't win them this battle. It was a big deal, but they still stormed in to...
True, because it was also Loris showing up and Renly's
armor.
Right,
it was really
too.
The reinforcements coming in, and then just running a train on them.
Loris, and then Tywin came in with his,
which is why I think it's maybe towards the back of these top five. It's still a great battle, but it's also like one of those that relied on a lot of sudden appearances and stuff.
Yeah,
and it was like at night. So I felt like we sort of missed a little bit. No,
there
honestly,
it was dark.
There was some fighting, but
no,
not
it
a
was.
Lot of
so it's like, it, look at this. It's like, yes, yeah. the wildfire looks cool, but it's like seeing people fight is not like you got these like really cool battle scenes where like I you think, could see step by step what was going on.
Right.
You know what? If they had shown us some of the later battles earlier and then showed us this later, I think we would have been very disappointed.
No, this was a good like. This yeah. is. A hint about what's to come. Right,
exactly. You know what I actually really liked about this battle, or even just kind of the earlier battles, to touch on what you guys said about cheering for both sides because you have characters and you can see their point of view and you're not really sure, you know, there's a conflict of like, oh, geez, you know, mm-hmm. I see both of their point of view and neither right. of one, they're not, neither are evil.
Yeah, good.
Right. Neither are bad. It's very blurred, the good and bad, which yeah. is a great thing that, that the show brings. And it kind of later on in the series, you kind of see a little bit more one-sided.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like clearly good and clearly evil. So, yeah. But I liked early on how
which
it did that.
Brings me to my number four, which is maybe... anyways, it's Battle of the Bastards is what I have as my number four. I know it's low on the list.
Yeah.
I
it's like
know.
One of my favorites. How dare you?
Possibly the best modern
yeah.
medieval combat mm-hmm. sequence.
It was pretty yeah. good.
It's an amazing episode. But listen, when it comes to the battle itself, it was cool to watch and there's great images. What? I just find it that it's I liked it a lot, but if you're looking man. At the battle itself,
what?
He just charges in. He's about to die. What? The reinforcements come out
you're
of nowhere.
About the whole
no.
start and how it starts.
No,
and like
the apocalypto yeah. thing.
Zigzag,
makes him run
zigzag.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he
the
doesn't zigzag.
Okay, but him not making bad choices doesn't make the battle bad.
Honestly,
and then the way this ends with that massive overhead shot of the circle of them getting, oh my god! And then yeah. they're just good. Cutting him down and climbing on piles of dead bodies.
One. Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. That's what you don't see in any other medieval combat. People, you see people fighting and people
right.
die, but there's never any dead bodies on the floor.
True. You really felt like you're the way they shot it. You felt like you were in it.
It was raw.
And I think Stephen had it up on the screen. That image of Jon Snow, Tim versus the world is
right,
iconic.
Right.
It's an immediate, like, it's just an iconic image. Now, he's done that a few times since then, which it kind of gets old.
It's
you're like,
move.
Okay, Jon.
It's his signature move.
Yeah, it's his move
he's
now.
He's like Jon Cena.
But this is the first time he really did it, and it was just a beautiful moment.
His signature move is to never order people. He's always to go first. He's always just like, no, I really hope I die this time. It's like that seems to be
yeah.
Jon's move.
Stop bringing
story
me back.
Of whoa.
Yeah, even in this one, he turns to Melisandre and says, like, don't bring me back. Mm-hmm. This
yeah.
is like, don't. And she's like, eh, it's up to the Lord of Light.
Do not resuscitate.
Yeah, yes. That tattoo. That would be perfect. I also think of the image of him emerging from the pile of dead bodies.
Yeah.
I just love that image when he comes out.
Do you? Because you put this number four.
Okay.
You know, do you want to just backtrack and say...
He admitted at the beginning.
Do you
want to
just say in no particular order?
Yeah, I
no.
mean, I
no,
think...
No, 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 no. We're going to continue to shame him. From now on, we're going to discuss why every battle after this is not worthy of the next battle.
And that might be fair. The thing that's interesting about this with, and I think this is maybe, I'm going to say this is why I put it right next to Blackwater, is they're both penultimate episodes in the season. This mm-hmm. comes at in season 6, and it's the penultimate episode, and you could see after Blackwater, they really figured out their formula.
Yeah.
Where they're like,
mm-hmm.
okay, the penultimate episode is where like shit really goes down.
Yeah.
And that's,
right.
I'm sure that 55-day battle, that's either the
yeah.
penultimate episode or the penultimate and final episode. You know, it's like both of them.
I don't
maybe.
Think it could be
that could be
the last
that
one.
That could be like a
mid-season so.
Thing.
That's what
know,
I think.
Because
yeah.
they,
it's mid-season.
But, and I think the reason why they do the, these episodes penultimate like this is because with this show, when some all these big events happen, there's always a lot of power shifts and things that change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you just have to have mm-hmm. time to talk about them. Like, even
yeah.
to get them to the point of where it's a cliffhanger, you can't just be like, all right, that's it. People would be very, very upset.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. That's true.
I mean,
but
yeah.
I feel like so much came out of this. Can we talk about like the aftermath? I mean, and not just like from Jon wailing on Ramsay, who uh-huh. was every. I don't get why people didn't like him. But
Ramsay, you guys
just,
are so evil.
Just making sure.
It would be great if you were such a fan of Ramsay and Littlefinger over there.
Hey.
You want Littlefinger to come back from the dead and
bring
like,
him back
over the White Walkers.
At least give him a fair trial. Okay, we're not talking about this right now.
He does not Oh, he should have had a chance to appeal, that guy.
I just love how John, when he's wailing on Ramsay, basically beating him to death, he looks up and he sees Sansa and he decides that this is her kill. Yeah. You know?
That is a nice moment. Mm-hmm. Where they, and also...
All right, sis, you take it from here. Yeah.
We also can't forget the big hero of this battle, R.I.P. 1-1.
Oh, 1-1. 1-1 the giant.
Oh, my God.
1-1. That was such a good moment when he charged, and his death, it hurt me.
It was beautiful.
As a giant myself.
It was very Braveheart-ish, the whole battle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't felt like it was, like, it was so authentic, and it was
and
raw.
It's also a lot of charging, and it's a lot
of... two sides.
Yeah, I mean, aside from this shot being iconic, just the Steadicam work that follows this immediately at when the chart, and the horses are... running in front of him and he's fighting with people and all that choreography and a lot of that stuff is just single takes like that have just taken forever but the work that they put into it really shows off
there was just a little side quick story when I was in college my freshman year they tried to host the world's largest pillow fight right so everyone came with their pillow like checked for like doorknobs and stuff so it was safe and then it just naturally. They just wanted to check, you know. So anyway,
I
just pictured them be like, "We're about to fight. Let's." Yep. Okay, it's locked. No one will come in and see our pillow fight.
No, but it was there was really not a lot of order to it. They were just like, "All right, there's thousands of us there standing with pillows," and then there's like a big air horn, and they're like, "Go!" And so you just start wailing on people, but naturally, over maybe like 10 or 15 minutes of just pillow fights, there ended up being like two distinct sides. Right. With like one leader on one side, like marching in front of their pillow, waving, you know, patrons. They're like, "Follow me!" And just two sides clash, and I was right in the middle of it. It was awesome. It just naturally happened that way. It's the closest I'll ever be to a battle of the best.
Yeah. I like the idea. It was like, that was my nom. I was in the shit in the middle of this.
Feathers everywhere.
Feathers everywhere. Oh, I slept well that night.
Scarred for life.
I haven't been able to sleep on a pillow since.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we can't forget that Winterfell was reclaimed by the Starks.
That's true.
That was huge.
This is one of the few, I think, successful good guys won battles that happen. And they started to happen, like, really in the last couple of seasons. Because so people can be on the top, which is suspicious.
Right.
When people get high.
Yeah.
Which brings me to our next battle, which is just as good, if I think better, than Battle of Bastards.
Nope.
Beyond the Wall. The Battle Beyond the Wall.
Objectively wrong.
Listen, sometimes you think a lot about these episodes, sometimes you don't.
Is this even a battle?
This is a battle.
It's not
this,
really.
This was like a mission that went
they
terribly,
fight like four
terribly
dudes.
Wrong.
And then they stand there for 10 hours.
On an island.
They fight a whole sea of undead. They fight like a whole people of undead.
Though?
In the end.
They kind of run from that.
It becomes Alamo right at the in the middle of it.
Yeah, well,
listen, okay,
don't remember this Alamo. Okay, we need to forget about this Alamo. I'm not going to lie. This was my least favorite episode
of
the entire series.
It's one of the dumbest things they've ever done.
Was it because of all the, like, okay, how did the dragons fly there so fast?
Not even. It was the whole time, you're like, okay, thinking, why did they send all these super valuable people up for this dumb mission, first of all?
Yeah.
Second of all, there was no feeling of, like, of tension or some suspense, because every time they killed someone, it was just some no-name, no-face, and so they just threw him in there like, well, people have to die, right? Because there's like thousands of Whitewaters. So let's just... And every time someone died, I'm like, I thought that was all of them. And then there was like someone else who like died. And you're like, well, who was that guy? No one cares.
Okay, their priest
it was cool.
of the Brotherhood did die. And he was...
It wasn't even cool. It was dumb. George told them this is what happens at this point, and they're like, how the heck do we get there? Well, I guess we got to do this episode where this happens.
But the good thing about this episode is it does turn the whole tide of everything around.
But it's so obvious.
So would you not put this on the list at all?
No.
Not at all?
I think, yeah.
I think there's a lot of other battles. I think it was one of those things where... earlier battles that you... I mean, and what is...
George said, we need a dragon to be in the hands of the Night King. And they're like, how are we going to do that? How are we going to get a dragon up there?
I like your image of just George R. R. Martin be like, we need... I don't even think it's like that.
They're like, all right, George, so how does this end? Well, the Night King's on a dragon, and he flies... he has a dragon? Oh, yeah, he got it from... What? Yeah, it happened already.
George R. R. Martin's just like, I don't know, but you need a bad dragon.
First, you need a dragon.
First, get a bad dragon. I'm not gonna tell you how to do it. Just get a bad dragon.
Just do it.
I'm George R. Martin.
That's exactly how we talk.
Look at my fishing cap. I'm never gonna release these books.
I recommend listening to A Song of Ice and Fire on audiobook with his narration. It's fantastic.
Jon Snow. He wakes up and he's like, oh my god, I'm not dead.
That's honestly, that made the episode a little better for me. Good, thank you.
Well, I liked the White Dragon, and I thought it was important to the show, so I think it deserved to be on the list.
Yeah, it is
important. I should have put Bastards ahead of it. I'm right there with you, especially on review. I will cave to that, but... you know, it's an important one. And you do wonder where he got all those chains. Where he got the chains to drag up.
He got them from the writers.
I'm not so worried about that. I was just kind of, you know, Jon Snow, all of a sudden, he's like pulling his sword out again. It's like, all right. And then his Uncle Benjen,
right,
comes and they didn't even share the horse. It was like one of those moments in Titanic where it's like, why didn't you share the door? Why didn't they share the horse? They could have both rode out together, you know?
Well, he needed to fight behind so he had... like the chance.
So Pixar released it. Sorry, hold that thought. Pixar released a...
this is about down. Pixar. It's important.
No, 21 or 22 something, basically pieces of advice for storytelling. And one of them has always stuck out to me. That's coincidences that get characters into trouble are magical. Coincidences that get characters out of trouble are cheating. And so when Benjen rode up right at the last second, it was just one of those moments where you're like, oh, okay, and then the dragon came at the last second. You know, it was everything so last second that is coincidence.
Yeah, that's
like,
a good point.
Hey, you're here just when I needed you the most. You know,
and the only thing I would say like to play devil's advocate is they do lay some groundwork to kind of hint that those things will happen.
Yeah,
to hint that like Daenerys knows where he's going, so that tells you already the dragon's going to come if they need trouble. Two, like what the other thing you were saying is they hint at. I lost it.
It was Benjen.
The Benjen. I don't know. I think they're going to explain more, but there's something with him and the Three-Eyed Raven and knows what's going on and being able to see
because I kind of just said he's good. He's like a White Walker, but good. And that's like kind of it.
He's like half White Walker.
He's like when they made the White Walkers in the beginning. To like fight for them before they all turn evil and turn into this the Children of the Forest. I think it's one of those things maybe.
Right.
That's all theory. Sure. So I think that's why he's like on their side too. So I think that's why he knew like, oh, I gotta now's the time where I go save John.
Yeah.
He's just been sitting out on the other side waiting.
I could see that. And that's fair.
And also like he's ready to die, too. He's in his weird, stuck out by the wall form.
I feel like the only other good thing that came out of this non-battle was that we realized that if you kill a White Walker, then all the whites that they turned also die.
Right. Yeah.
And they came up with a theory that if they do get close enough to the Night King, then they could basically kill all of the undead army.
Now, I have a question.
Is it
the whites that they turned, or is it the whites that are around them within the vicinity of them?
No, because I think some fell and some didn't, even that were in the vicinity.
Yeah, I think it's just the whites that they
turned.
I would imagine that it's a necromancer thing, basically, where
it's a necromancer.
The reason why they can summon around them, through extension of their mind, they're controlling what they do.
You wouldn't get it's a necromancer.
The reason why I ask is because we've seen dead bodies come back to life as whites before with no White Walker seemingly nearby, like the one that attacked
You're right.
The Castle Black.
So it might not be a Craster's necromancer thing as much as it is just like a mind control thing. They have some type of connection with these zombies, and whenever there must be some type of infection because you're right. We see that completely disconnected.
But it might be. It's still, I think, connected to one White Walker. I think you still have one person kind of being like,
death nearby.
Yeah,
I would imagine
that one's mine. Bill, I got that one.
So it's a little ambiguous, but at least, we did find out that's the way you take out whites is take out the White
Walker. I think it's like a warg kind of a thing.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So before we go on, I have a little game I want us to play. So in this one, it's just, this game is argue for your fighter. Choose a champion to fight. And then you guys are going to argue back and forth.
Why are we stretching?
Getting ready to battle verbally with our opinions.
Verbal fights. So, Kristen and Ryan, you guys are up first.
Sure, yeah, no problem.
I mean, we can if you want to go first.
No, no,
I mean, we were just warming up, but no problem.
You guys were stretching. We haven't stretched that yet.
Okay, all right. So in this round.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Who's your fighter?
Do you want to explain the parameters?
Oh, let me explain. Okay.
Yes. The rules, please.
Sometimes you think
and
about
these
shows.
And is there a referee?
I'm the referee.
Okay.
Especially when we're fighting. I'm the referee. So in this case...
Wait a minute.
You choose a fighter, or I can give you a fighter. I basically gave you a fighter.
We have options.
We're talking about this fighter at their prime. Mm-hmm. At the height of their training, at the height of their fighting...
Yes. I thought we were talking about current.
No, I said at their prime.
Okay. All right.
That's some of them are dead beforehand. Already. Okay.
Yeah.
We're talking about them at their prime. Okay. And so it's not, it's a. So who would win in a fight?
At their prime, only in the show we're talking about, right?
What are you talking about, only in the show?
I'm saying we're only talking about
actors?
Stuff that happened in the show.
If the actors fought?
No, I'm saying we're not talking about book stuff.
We're not talking about book stuff.
Yeah,
we're talking about
clarifying.
In the show.
Okay.
Okay.
When you have these arguments, you have to lay the ground rules. 1v1, in the Eerie, they have their weapons, they got full armor.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
That, you gotta look.
Okay.
I do these fan fights,
can
okay?
Can we do this in Hyrule Castle?
No Hyrule.
Max items, no hammer.
Fox only.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, we had to geek out for a second.
You know what? This is just going to be in a field with their prime, because I don't want to give any advantage.
All right, fine.
So this is in a field, and this is with their prime weapon that they use the most. But they each only have one weapon.
Mm.
Okay.
So in your case, I believe you guys chose Oberon.
Arya.
Arya, and I'm Oberon Martell.
The Viper.
Also known as the Viper.
Yes.
The Red Viper.
So why don't we go with Oberon? Why do you think he would win first?
All right. Well,
I'm
going to tell you.
We're in the field.
I can hear it.
Yes. Set the scene. Oberon is a highly trained, highly skilled fighter. He's world renowned as one of the best. I mean, when he was younger, he went and studied at the Citadel. So, I mean, he does have knowledge of poisons, which he usually puts onto his blade. Wins a lot of fights that way with a single cut. He fought over in Essos. He rolled with the Second Sons for a while. And, he actually mentioned that in the show. He also saw the Unsullied fight. He mentioned how they're very impressive on the battlefield, but not so much in the bedroom. So we do have evidence that he's rolled with them. And he also confessed to Tyrion before exclaiming that he would take down the mountain, which he pretty much did.
Mm.
He did. He took him down.
He beat him in combat.
He just lost because of his pride.
He got cocky.
He got cocky, but he did take him down. He clearly took him down in combat.
If it was not combat to the death, he would have won the fight.
He did.
Right.
He lost the war. He won the battle.
Well,
right? But
no,
but Oberon is he's quick. He's smart. And he's experienced. He's been around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I.
He's very open with his sexuality.
And the last thing that he did confess to Tyrion is that he did a lot of fighting in the pits of Meereen.
Okay.
I mean, this is a guy who is going to take down anyone who you put up against him.
Okay, now, Arya.
Okay, so if this is a question of the battle of love, I have to say Oberon all the way because everyone knows I love him. Like, you guys just know, love. But because we're not talking about love and we're talking about the needle in some battling. I mean, Arya, obviously, she already died, okay? Like, she can wear anyone's face. So, like, she could totally deceive him and wear...
What do you mean, already died?
You can't deceive someone in a 1v1 duel.
Okay, you guys aren't fighting right now.
No. I'm just saying... I'm not saying you can't use the fact that Viper has died against him.
No, I'm not. Okay. Arya has like a faceless god. Like, she's basically died as who she is. Mm. So she's not fighting for anything like pride and her sister being raped. I don't feel like she is. Like, although her sister has been raped and so has his, they share that terrible trauma.
Maybe they'll bond.
I feel like that's most of the cast of Game of Thrones.
Their sisters have all been raped. That's terrible. Getting back to why Arya is so badass and would be anyone is because she can literally be anyone. She could,
She can look like anyone, but I don't think she absorbs their skills like Kirby. You know,
no, it's not even about her skills. I mean, he would be so full of pride, he wouldn't be able to fight her. And should her eyes be taken out like his was, we know she can fight blind. So I really don't see her actually being defeated by anyone than Jochen Hagar.
Okay, I will concede to the fact that Arya is quite like a ninja assassin. She's pretty badass. Yeah. And if the playing field, or the fighting field, were in the city streets of Braavos, perhaps she would have an advantage. But in an open field, I'm sorry, Oberyn's spear would take that little girl out.
No. She would run around that spear. Good luck pinning her down.
She is a good water dancer.
Yeah.
Do you think there's anything else that Arya would use against the Viper? Like, what would be her tools to use against the Viper?
I mean, she would probably take his. I mean, we've seen her do that. She would take whatever he was using and use it against him. What are you going to say?
Okay.
You got something to say?
Okay, I'm going to say, what do you think? Who do you think won? You guys can decide who won ours.
Okay.
And we're going to decide who won yours.
Yes.
So who do you think won that argument between the two?
I mean, Oberyn wins the fight. Arya doesn't. What? She's not. Arya's not a fighter.
Using their arguments, though.
The arguments have to be correct. Can I make stuff up too?
What I was looking for, because I would say I would be on Arya's side.
Yeah.
Normally.
I think Arya.
But the argument that I was looking for, you did not bring up.
What do you want me to argue?
Which was that she would use his pride against him.
Mm. I said pride.
But how?
I said that how many times? Pride,
but you didn't say, like, I would egg him into being defeated. Like, wouldn't use the pride to either
both.
I could imagine maybe in an open field, he goes out there to meet who he thinks is going to be Arya, and there standing is Ilaria, his sister, his dead sister. If she was dressed as his dead sister, yeah. You raped her! You murdered her!
But
you killed her children!
Was his...
Ilaria's wife.
Ilaria was his wife. Oh, I don't know the name
Elia,
of his sister.
Elia. Yeah. Elia. Yeah. Elia.
Well, that's what Rhaegar's I mean. Wife. I mean, if you want me to paint you a picture, I'll fucking paint a picture.
That's the point.
I think Arya can kill Oberyn, but not in a fight. She's an assassin. If she wants to kill him, he's gonna die. She's a smart plan. Figure out a way, manipulate, deceive. She's an assassin. She's not
a warrior.
But she can get Oberyn has been in a fight.
Fight after fight. He's going to crush her.
Okay, no. I disagree.
Better yet, she would never take him in a one-on-one
combat.
You're
not fighting. You're judging them.
Ding, 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 ding. Round. End of round.
Okay,
one.
I would say the round goes to Oberyn.
Whatever.
But I would say that she could get into his head, so I think that she could have went personally.
She could.
But I think that round went to you.
But she didn't.
Okay, so...
I think she is the deadliest person.
Okay.
I think so, too. I don't think there's anyone... Who could beat her? She fought with Brienne, and Brienne's like, she can
fight,
take...
She did not fight
They
with
were practicing, and she was like, she can take
care
of herself.
It's our turn now.
Fine!
It's our turn. Okay, so our fight is going to be... you're Bronn.
Bronn the Black. Bronn of the Blackwater.
And I'm Brienne. So
weak ass Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah, we did not. I'm purposely choosing people that have not actually fought each other.
Mm-hmm.
Who would fight between Bronn and Brienne? You go first.
I go first. All right. Well,
ding, ding, ding.
If we look to the wisdom of the formerly best swordsman in the realm, Jaime Lannister. Mm-hmm. And who does Jaime Lannister hire to help him learn how to use his other hand to fight. But Bronn the Black. Because he knows how good of a swordsman Bronn is. Bronn is, like, if you watch how he fights, when he duels that guy, he's like a half asleep. He's like drunk. He's not even paying attention. He's never stressed. He dances around. He's like, all right, I'm done. Cuts his arm, waits for him to step into position, and just murks him right through the armor. It's over. Just drops him. It's done.
Okay.
Then he charges at a dragon.
Right.
Balls out. No care.
Balls out. Okay.
Think of all the battles in the show that Bronn has been in. How many people he's killed. He has the highest kill count, for the record. He has the highest kill count.
Does
he? He has the highest. If you count all the people he killed with his arrow at the Blackwater with the wildfire, it's people he killed.
I think Cersei wins the kill count.
Yeah, honestly, but that's not a battle. That's just a massacre. That's just
life.
So if we use Jaime's logic, if we use Jaime's judgment, then we got to see, who did he give his sword to?
Ooh.
Who did he think is worthy enough to give his sword to?
That's
Brienne.
But that's because she's fighting for a noble cause. Bronn's not a noble fighter. That's what makes him a good fighter.
I think that's what will do him in the end. Okay,
break it up. Clean it up.
Your argument.
I'm getting to it. You're talking over me, buddy.
No, you're responding to me. You're not making your.
I'm getting to
you're
it.
Make your statement.
Break it up. All right, guys, let's have a clean fight.
Okay. All right. So Brienne, I think, is. Has been established as one of the best fighters of the show. She's fought against. Are you talking right now? She's fought against Jaime. She's fought against. She's fought against the Hound. She's defeated the Hound. She's defeated all these people. I feel like she's a strong fighter. She'll be someone that I think Bronn would underestimate, and I think she'll win because of that. And I think that she has, for one, she has better armor, she has better weapons, and she has height and I think strength on her side more than Bronn. I think the only way Bronn would win is if he runs away, because that's what he would end up doing. And I think I think Brienne is a better hand-to-hand fighter, and Bronn's better at manipulating the environment and using people's weakness against them. But Brienne is also good at that and focusing on the fight and where they're going, and can lean into attacks and notice where his weaknesses are too.
All right, guys, that was a good fight.
I would give it to you, but you didn't say what I wanted you to say.
Uh-oh. He's
are you saying that because...
I wanted you to say that Bronn is a sellswordsman, and he doesn't have an oath to anyone. He doesn't have anything to really fight for.
That's basically what I said.
But Brienne obviously has honor and taken an oath to protect everyone that she's ever fought for.
And more of a faith in a cause. By the way, we weren't done, I don't
killed.
Think.
Really? Fine. No.
Says when he kills the guy in the Eyrie, she says to him, "You fight with no honor." He says, "Yeah, but he did," to the guy that is falling down the hole.
Yeah, but that's his philosophy,
right?
But I think
that's true in a fight. Him taking a ground or taking a stance or pulling out his second sword that he's not supposed to have in their duel of only one weapon is something that would cause him to kill her. When she would yield. She would take that second.
There's thought. Also, I think there's something in faith that also makes you keep going. And I think an oath and honor is tied to faith that will keep you fighting. Even if she gets her arm hacked off, she would still go after him.
Right.
While if he gets his arm hacked off, it would probably throw him and he wouldn't know what to do.
He'd just start drinking.
Possibly. Yeah. I'd like to go back to your point of saying that she fought Jaime when he was tied up. Not a fair fight. She fought the Hound after he had been walking for God knows how long, was sick with an infection, had already fought somebody else.
He's making some
good
points.
Barely won the fight, and then she lost to Arya.
But also, the Hound is a better fighter than Bronn.
We already established can't fight because she's an assassin.
She didn't lose. She didn't lose. What you just said, like 5 minutes ago.
She did beat Loras though in a tournament fight.
Yeah,
but
Loras. No, I definitely think it would be one of the better fights, and I think it would probably be the hardest fight for Bronn he's ever had. But I genuinely think that Bronn would beat Brienne, because I really don't think Brienne is as good as she thinks she is. I think it's more that she's faced people that aren't that good. There are not a lot of strong swordsmen alive during this time, and most of the ones that are only are from famous houses, and that's why people would know them.
Okay.
Someone like Bronn.
Okay.
We get it.
Final rebuttal. 10-second rebuttal. Go.
Final rebuttal is I feel like Faith would make it so she's able to even get injured in the fight but still win in the end. And much like the way that the Viper won over killed the Mountain, she could still win over Bronn, but I don't think it would necessarily take her out. I think she would just get a lot of injuries, and she has better weapons and armor and more of Faith.
Okay, thank you. Ding, ding, ding. Kristen, what do you think? I honestly think that Brienne had him at first.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's got the strength, she's got the armor, but we had some good points about who she has fought in the past and who Bronn has fought in the past. I think Bronn's quicker. He doesn't have the armor, but I think he's quicker, and he almost took on the Hound. What took it to Bronn for me was the fact that he would fight without honor. I could see him like kicking sand in her face and then, you know, being all quick. I have to, at the end of it, I think Bronn's coming out alive and Brienne isn't.
I'm going to have to disagree, because if you follow the patterns of this show, it's female domination at this point. We got Arya killing Oberyn, and we got Brienne killing Bronn. End of story. We got 5 minutes left.
Okay.
All right. I yield.
Oh, crap. So, last couple battles I had were the Gold Road.
Yes.
Let's just talk about how great the Gold Road was when they fought. It's also on the Rose Road, but it's called the Battle of the Gold Road because they were traveling with gold.
Right.
And it's just that battle was so great. Bronn kicked so much ass. Yeah,
he did.
Why are you, like, discounting so good?
I just think if you're talking about battles, like, the fighting in this is not that great. It's just, it's really cool to see the dragon. It's really cool to see the dragon used in a tactical way of, like, yo, we're at war, I have a dragon, let's effing use it.
This
like,
is
that
the
was
first
cool.
time we used
Seeing
dragons.
Seeing them charge at the dragon and all that was cool. But
also,
the battle
to fight
itself,
against it.
Man.
It's to fight against the battle. Like, the way that he was able to dodge and defend against the dragon, Bronn versus the dragon itself, was a great battle.
Yeah, the
and
charge,
the fact that he got
the
to Scorpion,
tackle.
He's the first one to actually hurt Drogon, and that meant a lot, and we got to see him wipe out. And also, the Dothraki versus, you can't forget the Dothraki actually pummeling.
Actually seeing a different...
the sounds of the battle approaching.
Yeah, I forgot about that part. That was cool, because that was the first time that we had seen... You get these, you know, traditional feudal knight combat style, which is full of honor and, you know, stances and stuff versus the Dothraki wild berserker.
Okay. Let's get it. We got running out of time.
Yeah. So. I just wanted to say about the scorpion that they built that they were, like, planning to injure, you know, the dragons. Yeah. Like,
giant,
that was huge because we were all so worried about that.
We were wondering how that was going to play out.
I was just worried about, at the end, I was questioning Dany when she killed, obviously, Randall and Dick and Tarly. So that stood out the most for me.
Okay. I just love to see the dragons blow some stuff up, man. You can't beat that. I mean, we've seen the dragon used a lot, but this is the first time you could really see how a single dragon can turn the tide of a major battle. It all of a sudden, it just made it that much more real.
Right. And final battle, I wanted to just mention, really this is here because of the Night King, but Hardhome is what I also have, because that was such a great...
Hardhome was really good.
It was such a great moment. And it was such a good ambush. It's like, it's an ambush battle.
It was like an intro to Battle of the Bastards.
But it also had a great, like, back and forth, because you saw the White Walkers be surprised with the Valyrian steel when they fought. And it totally surprised that White Walker when he was able to defeat him. But then also when the escape, and he just looks back and sees the
Night
King.
Everybody rising.
Yeah. The whole, like, oh, shit.
And don't forget about the zombie children. How freaking creepy was that?
When they run off the cliff and they pile up, right? I mean, it was like World War Z, like The Walking Dead.
20 days later, like they were so fast. We've never seen them that fast before, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
It was crazy.
They're always just trudging along in the blizzard, just like aimlessly. And this time they had a mission of massacre.
They had a target, too.
Yeah, didn't we even lose a giant in that?
We did lose a giant. We lost, I think his name was like Jordan.
London's brother.
Lord London, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it for us. I hope you like this list of battles in no particular order.
There he is.
That were some of the best battles that we had. Ryan, where can they find you?
You guys can catch up with me at Ryan Malotti at Twitter, on Instagram, Snapchat, everywhere. And we'll see you next month, I guess.
I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, and you can follow me at Cinematic Escape on all the realms.
Cinematic Escape.
What's up, guys? Nate Miller here. You can find me on all social medias at DogLikeNate.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com.
He's Dave Child.
Dave Child. And you can also find me at the Westworld AfterBuzz, if you guys want to keep the HBO intense fantasy things going. I'm doing that one.
Excellent.
So you guys should stop by sometime.
I
so
love okay. It.
And before you leave, please give us a thumbs up if you liked our show. Yeah, comment, you know, what your favorite battle was. If we missed something, maybe you disagree with how we ended our fights. Yeah. You know, let us know.
Maybe you thought I won.
Yeah. If she's right and we're wrong, like always, let us know.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. Join us next month for Game of Thrones offseason.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.